Now Johnny's going to read the psalm, and we're going to echo the. We'll read the first line. We'll echo the second line. But what you see in this psalm is a brief sketch of God's taking care of His people. You'll see it
Which
as you go.
psalm is it?
136.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
Loving kindness is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone does great wonders.
Kindness is everlasting.
To him who made the heavens with his skill.
Loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who stretched out the earth upon the waters.
Loving kindness everlasting.
To him who made the great lights.
Loving kindness.
The sun to rule over the day.
Loving kindness.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his loving kindness.
To him who struck the firstborn of Egypt.
Loving kindness.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His loving kindness.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
First with loving kindness.
To him who divided the Red Sea into parts.
First with loving kindness is everlasting.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
First with loving kindness.
But tossed Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
First with loving kindness everlasting.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
First with loving kindness.
To him who struck down the great kings
First with loving kindness.
and killed mighty kings.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Sion, the king of Amorites,
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
and Og, king of Bashan,
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
and gave their land as a heritage,
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
even a heritage to Israel, his servant,
For his loving kindness is
who faithfully remembered us in our lowly condition.
everlasting.
And has rescued us from our enemies,
For his loving kindness everlasting.
who gives food to all flesh.
Kindness.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his loving kindness never left. Yeah. Isn't that an amazing song? Just
When you think about the loving kindness of God, what do you think about? Remind me, what does the word loving kindness mean? Remind me.
Faithfulness,
Faithfulness?
loyalty,
Loyalty? Go ahead.
graciousness,
Graciousness?
unwavering love.
Unwavering love? Covenant keeping? Steadfast? You could keep going on. The idea of a what did you take out of the psalm that we just read? What'd you take from that?
God's commitment to his people.
I love that. God's commitment to his people, but what did it look like? Protecting, providing. It started off with a place to stay, didn't it? His creation. Why did he create all this? Rachel, why did he create all this? That's the answer I was looking for right there. Because of his loving kindness. This is ours to live on because of his loving kindness. Why did he take Israel out of Egypt? Same reason. Why did he kill kings? Same reason. Give my people protection and a place to be. So, what I wanted us to do, do not have me standing up here.
I need to pull a chair. Pardon?
You need a chair?
I'll get a chair.
I got a chair.
Asking a question. Somebody ask a question.
Why is this funny little family here?
His loving kindness is everlasting.
Loving kindness. It's such a nice place that we could no way afford. Because his loving kindness is everlasting.
So, Keep going. These are good thoughts. I'm just here as an echo of your thoughts. Roger, have you seen the loving kindness of God in your life?
Every day.
Give me a specific. Everybody, I'm putting Roger on the spot, but
you're next.
How has his loving kindness been manifested to you personally?
Just knowing God there, just be always there to talk to everybody and often. Well, believe me, I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of talk. And understand.
Have you ever thought that God would get tired of listening to your requests, to your problems, to your challenges? Do you know people that get tired of listening to you? Okay. I've heard enough, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to the head ain't listening.
Yeah.
You feel like God's like that?
No.
Why?
Because he's always there.
Well, that's not the answer he's looking for. Or he's looking if it's ever listening. What I want us to do is see that every aspect of our life is marinated in. Can I use that word?
Mm-hmm.
Sauteed, maybe sauteed would be a better word. You're more friends than
sauteed sounds like you cooked our goose.
Mary, you look like Dad doesn't want to share.
No, I just
you don't
I'm
have
thankful. Well, I'll just have something to share. You know, whose loving kindness truly is everlasting. It's just all the things that come our way, whether they're good or they're difficult, you just see it and feel it. And that reminder pulls me out of.
Can you give an instance that I see God working right there because he loves
me? Well, my daughter's back in the United States.
All right, there you go.
She's out of Turkey.
She's not a Turkey.
Yeah, she's not a Turkey.
Yeah, but she is going to Oklahoma.
Yeah, she is going to be in Oklahoma. Yeah, well, still in the U.S. It only takes 5 or 6 hours to get there. Then the rest of 12, it'll be in international.
Johnny, what about you? Seen God's loving kindness in your life?
Never.
Okay. It's never lasting.
Yeah, it's everlasting, and it's that part is everlasting. It's the not enough. It's not recognizing. What is that? Acknowledging it. I don't do enough acknowledging of it, but my days are complete and just filled up when there's moments of just shutting off the things I don't even want to think about and just being thankful instead of for all the things that you just pulled me through. I had something with a door the other day and the little knob for the closer gets twisted and I didn't do it, but the guys before me had pulled it 4 times. Past where you're supposed to pull it. So it was real bound up. And my crescent wrench had stuck against the door. And it's finished door. You don't want it. It's the point sharp end. And I'm trying to pull it off as hard as I can, but also pull it down. And I'm kind of just begging God, if you could help me real quick. I don't know how to get out of this jam. But I had said that. And it was the end of the day, and I'm driving home. And I was thinking about all the things I just prayed about all day. And just got answers and like, got through the day and I wasn't like, oh no, and then getting angry and hitting my hammer against that finished door until it broke. Now I wanted to a couple times, but yeah, and I finished it all. I'm just driving home, and then the day was like 16-hour day, and I'm driving home and got in traffic and I lost it for a second, but I'm like, no, just think about all the things I'd already been through. Oh, a couple minutes more of traffic on the way home for the last 2 days, and I do it. Just putting away from all the junk that I don't. I didn't think about all the things that he did or anything like that.
So
you didn't wait to get home and see my family, but there was.
You're really saying that God cared about a stuck crescent wrench?
He did, maybe. Or even just this guy who doesn't know what he's doing, so he gets it stuck. He still cared about that guy.
He's just like, they're just
a little thing. Even parking places.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm serious. It's like I can't walk. Today's a bad day of work, and all of a sudden, one opens up. It's a packed lot, and one opens up right by the door. Thank you, Lord.
God. Either that or being yes, God.
No, you see what you're doing. You see what you're doing. You're identifying what this on the broad scope. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Great job, Ethan. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because of God's loving kindness, and it's easy to leave it into big, broad, big stuff. But Johnny talked about a stuff precedent that if he takes it out long, it's going to mess up the door. And I don't know what would happen if it messed up the door. Have to put a different door in? Dock your pay.
I'd feel better about that.
Yeah.
It's like God doesn't care about Crescent. He cares about Johnny.
Yeah.
And if it bothers Johnny, it bothers God.
Yeah, but we might think, well, it's just a Crescent. God doesn't care about the Crescent.
Yeah.
And not realize what Jim just said. That it's God. What is going on with me?
Yep.
Is what is going on with him. And I mean, isn't that what loving kindness is? Particular and specific care about you. Not about the events, except it's how those events impact you. I mean, he smote down Og and Sion, those kings. That was God's loving kindness? Text said so. But I'm not sure that they enjoyed God's loving kindness.
They're just that parking spot that needed to be cleared.
There's a bigger picture that specific and individual, you know, that king over there, that was God's loving kindness to have him killed for the people he's trying to bless, because he would have been a danger, a vicious beast, however you want to spin it. But that's a national work. So Roger knows that God listens to him, and Johnny knows that God listens to him, and finds ways to work things out. That is a verse that you sometimes like, Romans
8:28. For
we know what?
That God causes.
God causes
all things to work together.
Things.
For good to those
to work together.
Yeah.
For good.
Those who love him. No. Not for everybody.
Not for Og and Sion.
Oh, not for Sion and Og.
Yeah, either one of those.
Yeah. Those who love him.
And are called according to purpose.
Skin diversity.
I love him with intent. Now that's purpose.
Okay.
Have you seen God's loving kindness in history? I don't know. You tell me. His ear was hit by a speeding bolt. Being that close to killing the presidential candidate. And just coincidence? I don't know what you think about the man. And that's not about the man. It's about the need of the country and about the insanity that we're being rescued from. Can I say, well, that was God showing his loving kindness to me? What do you think? How deep do you want to go with this? Or let me say it differently, Michael. How much do we want to limit our understanding or acceptance of, well, that's God's loving kindness?
Well, let's look at benefits of that.
Okay. Look.
Okay, so we were going, the whole nation was going super woke.
Yeah.
Now look at the tide is churned. And those things affect me personally.
Yes, they do.
And so, yes, it does work. Saving him was showing loving kindness to me.
I wonder how many people have been and continue to pray that there'll be a spiritual revival in this country.
Now, I'm not saying that our president is a spiritual man, but I am saying he's creating an environment that is much more conducive to spiritual growth than those people who are going to sleep under woke. I was just waiting to say that.
Well, Trump thought it was a God thing.
He did.
He gave God credit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard, I don't think in my entire adult life, any president credit God openly the way Trump has.
Mm-hmm. I believe Reagan a couple of times credited God, yet he was married to a woman, consulted with Ouija boards.
Well, like that woman you gave.
Yeah, Reagan did a couple times, but that was a long time ago.
Susan, there's a girl.
You probably all know I work at Walmart, and this week, I think it was this week, let people into the feeding realm, and they're really thankful most of the time that I let them in there, because sometimes they have to wait for people to a long time. Yeah, but problem. But this one lady was, I think she was in a hurry, but when she came out, when she was hurrying, she says, "I love you, and no one's ever done that." And I'm going, wow. God, thank you for that.
I suppose that if we start looking carefully under every leaf, we'll find evidence of God's loving kindness. Everywhere. It's everlasting. I mean, just we are surrounded by air that we can breathe. We are surrounded by a loving kindness that sustains us in the same manner. One sustains us physically. The other sustains us wholly. I mean, God sustains us physically. He sustains us emotionally. He sustains us spiritually. I love the picture in Zechariah 2 where Zechariah saw a picture of Jerusalem being reestablished. And they were going out to measure the walls. Just tell that young man, don't worry about measuring the walls. I will be a wall fire around her. What else could be so flexible to sustain the growth that's going to take place when Jesus came and established that new Jerusalem? What else could sustain? You're not going to build a physical wall around God's people. I will be the wall. You ever rejoice in that? He is the wall around his people. But guess what? Psalm 34, verse 7. David said, the angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So it's even individual, right? It's not just around God's people as a whole. It's around me. Like my force field. My force field. And unlike
Psalm 91.
And unlike the, I'll get there in a minute, but unlike the picture in the movie Doom, where the slow blade penetrates the shield, ain't nothing can penetrate the shield that God puts around you. His loving kindness. Also, go ahead, read Psalm 91. Share it.
The entire psalm is so encouraging that it has this spiritual battle scene that God is our strong tower. We can run into him and be safe. And if 1,000 fall about my left hand and 10,000 on my right hand, it will not come near me. Right? And so if something that we think is bad comes near us, it's only God allowed that to cause us to grow or to allow us to be a witness.
Think about what Jim is saying. So God doesn't keep all the trash from approaching us, but God's loving kindness is everlasting. So that stuff has a purpose that God can use to make me stronger, to identify a weakness, identify a fault. There's a difference between a fault and a weakness.
propensity toward, I have a propensity toward wasting. You know that. And, you know, things come at me and help me realize that. John?
I just want to read the end of Psalms 91, 14 through 16. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him on high because he knows my name. Confidently trust and rely on me. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him, help him. For a long life I will satisfy him and I will let him see my salvation. That was just the end of that. But it was going right with what you were saying. I just like read that right part of that argument.
And then if we paired that with the whole armor of God, if a dart hits us, we didn't have our shield of faith on. Right? So there's a portion of us in response to this is what our God has provided, but we need to walk in it.
Because he has loved me, as God speaking, therefore I will deliver him. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. Because he has loved me. Yeah, that works. I will deliver him. God set him on high. Now, New American Standard adds the word securely, but he set him on high. Where is he? He's out of reach of the, he's up on a butte or some pinnacle where
waters can't get him.
Waters can't get him, neither can the soldiers around it. He'll call on me, and I'll answer. There's what Roger was saying. He listens to it. And we'll be with him. It doesn't say I'll keep trouble from coming to it. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll rescue him. And on it. Yeah, good job.
That was just, I was just getting at that point. It's like what we see Jesus doing for us. We know he ends up being the wall, but he's when he's the man, he has to go through all these things. God is honoring. God does look down and listen to him, sees them, and says, "You're doing well." He even encourages him. Mm-hmm. He has the angels come and encourage him. But did that keep him from pain and suffering and all the things he had to do? No. We get to see that he had to go through all those things. We still have to go through it, but he knows what that's like.
Yeah.
And he takes us away.
How about you, Alan? Have you seen God's loving kindness in your life?
I have.
Care to share?
What is on my mind most is just waking up every day. So just being able to draw breath.
What do you use an invisible pen to draw breath? I tease the nurse that I have to have a blood draw every about once a month. I said, well, where's your red pen? Use your red pen to draw blood.
She chuckles.
I actually saw that at the nursing station in Auburn Hospital.
A red pen?
No, a design that says we use red pen to draw blood. I borrowed my joke. The loving kindness of God. It's just like the air we breathe. It's everywhere. Without it,
he would not. What was the address of that? Daniel.
Which one?
The one that you.
That was read. The end. It was Psalm 91.
I thought you said Daniel.
No, it's the last three verses of Psalm 91.
Oh, okay.
The passage you introduced, he started reading it and said, wow, this is good. He's endorsing your idea. Because he loved me, I will set him on high. You know, you got that commercial, what can Brown do for you? What does God want to do for you? What does God want to do for you?
Right. I wish I could see all of the things that God does in the background that keeps me safe.
No, you don't. It would
probably terrify me.
It'd be mental overload.
Yeah.
Mental overload.
Yeah. I mean, driving down the freeway, that's pretty dangerous, really, when you think about it. You're seeing the street. I mean, you just don't know. It's just the fact that life is amazing.
Satan tried to tempt Jesus. You remember the three temptations? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember. Good. You're hoping I won't call on yet. Good. Sure.
Make food.
Out
of rocks.
And?
Step off the temple.
That's God.
Why step off the temple?
Because the angels would save him.
Keep you from dashing your foot. Satan quoted a scripture. And you suppose that was there just so Satan quoted because Jesus would refute it? Or was that there to say that he has given his angels charge concerning you, lest you dash your foot against the skull? Do you think that's about you, Rebecca, or was that just about Jesus? Pardon? It's God's promise of, I'm there to keep you safe. Do you have any keep safe experiences? Or if it hadn't been for God, you probably would have died?
$1,000.
Pardon?
More than one. I remember instances, and it's just like, cannot believe that, you know, one was involving my kids, and I don't think, you know.
Just asked you to live through it?
Yeah, that too. No. Actually, it was a swing set incident where somebody was swinging and came down, and it looked like they were just going to plow into it. I do not like that. Well, I do. And another one was a car accident that slid off the side of the road when I was first learning to drive, and how that came out to be without damage or problems, or just, you know, like, thank you, Lord.
I had an event like that with Linda. Did we have the baby at the Jimmy at the time? When Glenn and Jane, as we fishtailed, and we could have gone off the road down into, you know, 30, 40 feet down into the field.
Yeah.
Or we could have gone up the hill or plowed into the snowbank up the hill and been safe. We did that. We went into the snowbank up the hill rather than off the hill. And a friend of mine, I was studying with him, and he wasn't quite sure whether our conviction were just empty, you know, the sausage skin without the sausage type of approach, or whether it was core meat. And when I plowed into that highway, after all that, could have lost the family. I mean, it could have killed us all. And he says, I still remember what you said when it happened. Boy, howdy. Those are my exact words when the car came to stop. Boy, howdy. Now, he would have been used to all sorts of profanity or cursing or
right.
Boy, howdy. I think I baptized him the next day. Because he saw that it was real.
Yeah.
And I saw the hand of God. That was, he didn't keep the ice off the road. He didn't keep the tires on the ice. He let me slide instead, but he made sure I didn't go off. Okay. And it would have killed us. And about the only thing I suffered was it popped the tire off the rim. When I hit Jimmy and the snowbank, popped the tire off the rim. Put the spare on. Glenn drove the rest of the way home. Yeah, John.
That's why it says that verse repeatedly in that chapter. That he's it so much. So maybe if we have that in there, it's more powerful than the boy out. Maybe. But if we say that, instead of the other thing that people are used to saying with it, loving kindness, that's a much more powerful
thing. That would have been a far better thing to say.
Maybe to other people, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Just to start it off. But if I hit my finger at work and say that, that's much better than anything else they're going to hear all.
I know a fellow that's led. Carpenter he wasn't a finished carpenter, he was a framing carpenter, and he led one of his fellow workers to Christ by hitting himself on the finger and not saying what was expected to be said.
Right.
Why didn't you say anything? But that's a different story. We're talking about
seeing God's loving kindness in our lives in unexpected places. It's kind of like, oh, I saw an air molecule over there. I didn't expect to see air over there. I didn't expect to see God's loving kindness here. I want you to see that God's loving kindness surrounds us. It's everlasting, except for, because that's who he is. Thoughts?
A lot of the things that were written from that song that we read are reflections back that he see.
Yeah.
God working reflections, given his faith and assurance that woman steps that he's taking now.
Just that is, I kind of was over talking, Michael, but he made an excellent point. That is, the faithfulness of God in the past is there to assure us of his continued faithfulness. And I think that's why every verse ends with his loving kindness is everlasting. For his loving kindness is everlasting. He did this because this is who he is. He did this because this. So what's he going to do tomorrow? Well, who is he? His loving kindness is everlasting. But we also saw from, what was that, Romans 8, 28?
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere there. And Psalm 91. He loves me, therefore. His loving kindness is directed toward the people of his covenant, the people of his love.
You ever got a thought?
You're probably just marinating in thoughts or sauteing.
I think somebody over there was first.
Oh, okay.
Susan.
Oh, okay.
I've been reading a book about the presence of God. And so I've been trying some different things. And I'm in a lot of pain, so I go see an acupuncturist, and they stick needles in me.
What's the point?
My heart. Helps. Needles in you, and then they turn off the light, and they have the soft music, and they go out, and they leave you there for like a half an hour on this table. That it starts out being comfortable, but before she comes back, I'm hurting, my back's hurting and stuff. So I decided to try something different. I was going to be thanking God for everything I can think of, and maybe some songs, and just trying to be with God. And I didn't feel the pain that I usually felt, and that it was okay. Once she came back, I go, oh, wow, you're here already. So I'm trying that. Like, I also go in the hydroponics twice a week, and I try to meditate and do stuff with God in there. And so he's not taking the pain completely away, but it's slowly getting a little less. And you know what? I think the pain's there for my benefit. I know people have troubles and stuff, but I think they're there for, if everything was perfect and good and stuff, I don't think we'd be the people we are.
Good insight.
Yes, the loving kindness of God is everlasting.
So that is his loving kindness.
Yes. Well, Susan made a really important point. That is reflecting with gratitude. When's the last time? I know Bill Cosby had a skit years and years ago. Some of you weren't here. But he had this album. Why is there air? Well, air is to play basketball. Why is there air? Why is there air? I keep coming back to the air. I'm just an atheist because I'm an airhead. I don't know. Why is there air?
Loving.
Just his loving kindness is everlasting. It universally supports every living thing on this earth, doesn't it? Trees, plants, animals. Universally supports everything. Except maybe there are some mouthless worms at the bottom of the ocean.
Bacteria.
But it's there to support. I guess what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is it's easy for us to take for granted the goodness in our life. Is just because it's there. Why is there? Because it's there. No, it's there because God loves you. And he's steadfast in that love. We
in our men's study yesterday, talked about Abraham. Abraham at the time, how that God promised him a land was great. A famine came, and he bailed. And when he bailed, that caused another problem. He didn't trust God to take care of him on the land. He said, I better go find food down there in Egypt. And so he did. But when he got down to Egypt for us, boy, she's another woman. Say, you're my sister, so they don't kill me. So in fear of famine that God can't protect me, he fled to Egypt. In fear of losing his wife, he pimped out his wife. God did not abandon him. And that's one of the key points. God didn't abandon him. He brought him out. I'm going to give you this wife. I'm going to come against you. I'm going to protect you. Even though you dropped the ball, I didn't drop you. So Abram dropped the ball. God didn't drop him. Why not? And so, what's going on in your life? And you hit a rocky spot. So, where is God? He's working out ways to fix it, or help you fix it, like he did with Abraham. Abram didn't fix that problem immediately. God worked to bring a solution to it, increase his faith. We didn't get this far. But God finally gave him a son in his old age. How old was Abraham when, by then his name's Abraham? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born?
99.
That's when he was conceived.
Oh, he was 100.
100. He's 100 and Sarah was 90. What did God say to him when he came out as a teenager?
We need that back.
Sacrifice him.
I want it back. I gave you this son. I gave you a promise to the son now. Would you offer that son to me? Would you sacrifice your son for me? What did Abraham do?
He did.
What did Abraham do?
He went home, didn't he? He went through the motions.
He loaded up the wood. He took two or three servants. And his son started off. And Isaac said, I see the fire and I see the wood. Hey, Dad, where is the animal to sacrifice? What did Isaac say? God will. And so, got close. Abraham and Isaac said to the servants, you stay here. And Abraham said,
We will return.
What was Abraham know? What did he know he was going to do?
Sacrifice.
I'm going to sacrifice my boy. We will return. So he took him. They built an altar. They laid out the wood. He bound his son and laid him on the wood. Pulled out the sacrificial knife. And then the angel had to restrain him. And he said, now I know that you trust me. And Abraham looked, and there was a ram stuck in a thicket with his horns. Since you have not withheld from me your only son, I'll sacrifice my only son for you, which is what he did. Why was Abraham able to go even to the point? Now, I'm not talking about somebody that is. But through in whom he knew that God had promised, I'm gonna extend my blessing to you through that boy that you have on the altar. Do you know what the Hebrews writer said about that? You read it in Hebrews 11, verse 17, where it says, he knew or he believed that God would raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
He believed in God. And the Hebrews writer said, and in a parable, that's exactly what happened. Which tells me that the boy was as good as dead in Abraham's mind. I'm going to follow through. The one that God withheld his hand. to guide God in that from the beginning. Now I know. You trust me. We can trust God that is there because of one thing. His loving kindness is everlasting. I may not see how that challenge is going to be good. You might say, I don't see how that can possibly work. Abraham trusted what God said, you're going to have children who just born. Trusted what God said, I want you to sacrifice him to. Made it up in his mind that here's how God keep hope, keep the promise he made, as well as have me do this. He's going to raise him back from the dead. He trusted God's promise so intimately that the challenge was something he knew God could work out. Because God's living kindness is in it. I don't know what kind of challenges you're going to face. What I do know is that if you know that just like there's air that you can breathe, that there's a loving kindness of God all around you, you can face that challenge. You can go through it. You can succeed in it.
I think maybe the most powerful moment is all the time bringing his son. He's going, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. He binds his son. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. He puts him up there. I trust you. I trust you. And as he lifts up the knife, he's, Lord, I trust you. There's been kind of a little bit of a question mark there in my heart, I'm thinking that. And then as that moment when his brain sent the energy to his armor to come down, he didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But his eyes closed, I trust you. And God says, I know you've just proved it. You proved it to me now.
You proved it. You really trust me. Yeah, the reason we can trust God with even the most difficult challenges, because his loving kindness is everlasting. And that's the message I want to leave with you this morning.